to commence our anniversary services by singing the hymn 372. 372. The tune is Austria 625. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word can not be broken, formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, what can shake thy sure repose? With salvation's walls surrounded, thou mayst smile at all thy foes. 372.
Luke, part of chapter 15, and the epistle to Philemon. Luke, chapter 15, reading from verse 11 to verse 24. Verse 11. And he, Jesus, said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. We turn now to the epistle to Philemon. The epistle to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him for ever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord, having confidence in thy obedience. I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. The Lord bless his word and help us now in prayer. Almighty Lord God of heaven and of earth, in whom we live and move and have our being, before whom we are revealed in all our sinfulness and all our unworthiness, constantly reminded of thy word that declares, be sure your sin will find you out. Almighty, holy Lord God, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. We seek grace to come, to draw near to the throne of grace, confessing our sin, acknowledging our transgressions, and pleading for pardon, for the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, for that acceptance in and through our dear Redeemer, who loved us and gave himself for us. O Lord, thou hast brought us together on another anniversary day in the history of this cause of truth, in the years, the generations that are past. It has pleased thee from time to time to grant showers of blessing, times of refreshing within this sanctuary, thy house made as the house of God and the gate of heaven. We pray, gracious God, that as once more we come, that thou wilt condescend to rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. O gracious God, we come so helpless, so poor, so sinful, so unworthy, in all our poverty. Oh, one says, give me Christ, or else I die. Oh, gracious God, we pray, from the riches of thy grace, that thou wilt pour down such blessings into our soul, a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. May we be helped to remember all the way that thou hast led us, marking out that those answers to prayer, those deliverances in time of trouble, and thy mercy toward us despite our sinfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy goodness, that thou dost make to pass before us in the way. And we would render praise to thee for the way that thou hast led us. And as faith is given, as thy purpose is revealed, Lord, humbly we acknowledge he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Thy way, not my way, but nevertheless the right way. And Lord, we constantly pray that we may be kept in that path that thou dost appoint for us, that we do not turn to the right hand or to the left, that we do not try to find a wrong way out of our troubles, rather to wait patiently, submissively, to prove that thy grace, our sufficiency, thy help afforded, and that stored up in the trial, the testing of our faith, the way of temptation, thou hast a blessing for our soul in such a way that when we are brought into the experience of that blessing, we bow before thee to thank thee even for the path that has been so painful, so trying, so difficult, because that there thou didst meet with us, there thou didst bless us, there thou didst confirm our soul, there thou didst appear when there was none to help, there thou didst drop a word from heaven into our hearts, there we proved the peace of God which passeth all understanding, there that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, there as the hymn writer says, I am with thee, Israel, passing through the fire. And there we could testify, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. O gracious God, humbly and yet tremblingly we say that though dark spots have been made, as it were, a glimpse of heaven, the presence of Christ, the form of the fourth, was like the Son of God, bonds loosed, not the smell of burning, not a hair of the head singed. O gracious God, we tremble as we enter the cloud, and there we prayed, Lord, take this cross away, remove this bitter cup, find me some other way. And yet thou hast bid us, my child, walk on, go forward. I will be with thee, I will help thee, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so we prove thy gracious hand and light. Dear Daniel, the Lord, we could say, my God hath shut the lion's mouths, my God has done it. And Lord, there would be a profitable anniversary to trace out personally in our experience, personal experience of personal dealings with heaven, that grace in our soul of how my God hath, and to sweetly sing, my Jesus has done all things well. Though at times, yes, Lord, the night has been dark, the waves have been high, the wind has been contrary, and we've been toiling in rowing, and yet we did not sink. We tried to keep on, and thou didst come, though it was the fourth watch of the night, when our strength was gone, when there was none to help, the Lord, thou hast appeared, and we could see all in thy hand, that thou reignest over all, commandest even the winds and the waves, that they obey thee. And thou didst come and say, it is I, be not afraid. Thou hast also stood, as on another occasion, and said, peace, be still, and there was a calm. O Lord, what power, what a demonstration of thy love, thy constant care of us, that sufficiency of grace, that strength in every time of need. So, Lord, with mercy and with judgment, my web of time he wove, and in the dews of sorrow, and thus that with his love, are blessed the hand that guided, are blessed the heart that planned, when throned in highest glory in Emmanuel's land. And Lord, that's the prospect. Oh, may we read our title clear, the mansions in the skies. May patience be given to us to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and to run with patience the race set before us. No mistake with it, Lord. It's set, and it's thy hand, thy wisdom, thy love that plans it all, set before us, looking unto Jesus. Lord, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. So hear us. We thank thee, bless thee for help afforded in time past, and his love in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sing. Each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure to bring me right through. Help us to trust and not be afraid. But when, and Lord, there are times we are afraid, very much so, but even then I will trust in thee. I cling. We cannot give up, Lord. We hold on, and we pray that thou wilt help us thus to lean on our beloved, casting all our care upon him, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Our cares, full of worry, tension, a perplexity, not knowing what to do, thy care of fatherly love, and as one whom his mother comforted his children, so the Lord will comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. I, even I, am he that comforteth you, the God of all comfort, the God of all grace. Oh, to prove it constantly, Lord, to rest in those everlasting arms, assured that the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are those everlasting arms. So, Lord, we gather to bless and praise thee for all that thou hast done for us. But, Lord, thou knowest the need of each, the path they walk. And, Lord, it may be some at this time are in the fire, some in temptation, some may be in depression, some may be in perplexity, some may need a word of guidance, some may need a spiritual blessing and confirming in their soul. Oh, could it please thee, out of the abundance of the fullness of the gospel blessings, that the poor and the needy may be blessed, their needs supplied, and help afforded. Oh, grant it, Lord, of the glory of thy great and holy name. And do grant that in all thy dealings, Christ may be made more precious, self may shrink to nothing, Christ be all in all. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So, Lord, we're gathered with the dear friends and their beloved pastor, their beloved and dear friend in the ministry. We pray thy blessing upon this cause of truth, the beloved pastor. Lord, we thank thee for maintaining his lot, for preservation in going out and coming in, dangers seen and unseen. We thank thee for his ministry and pray that thou wilt continue to bless that ministry, confirm it with signs following, and water his own soul. Fill him with the love of Christ, endue him with power from on high, send him forth continually with a thus saith the Lord, thus, Lord, thy waiting servant bless, and crown thy gospel with success. Bless deacons and church members and all in the congregation. May love and harmony prevail. May there be a flowing together, to the goodness of the Lord. We pray that thou would preserve from the roarings of the lion and the wiles of the devil. Preserve and keep from a root of bitterness that springs up. Lord, do grant that age may be kept tender in the fear of God, as striving together for the faith of the gospel. And so, Lord, we pray, bless thy dear people. We remember those, Lord, that are in affliction, and grant healing and strengthening mercies. We pray for the Bethesda home, and seek thy blessing on the residents, and help to be given to the staff. And Lord, we would bring before thee the need of this home, of need of those moved by love to Jesus to devote their time and labors in the care of those that are in that home. Raise up the provision of staff and help those in their added duties and longer hours. Give strength and day by day, we humbly pray. We do ask thy blessing on the young, that thou wilt bless them in the tender years of childhood and youth. Implant thy fear, lead in the ways of God, and do grant that there may be that manifestation of thy Spirit's work even in the heart and life of those that are so very young. Jesus, friend of little children, be a friend to me. Take my hand and ever keep me close to thee. Bless dear friends that are visiting. We do pray the blessing of the Lord to be upon every cause of truth here represented. Favor with spiritual prosperity, a building up and establishing in the truth, and in gathering of precious souls whom thou hast ordained unto life eternal. Remember those in old age. We thank thee for thy mercy toward us, and the dear deacon here whom we've loved in the truth from the first day, and now many, many years brought to a great age, and acknowledging the goodness of his God. And we pray thy continued blessing, and crown the eventide of life's journey with the blessings of heaven, to behold by faith that door open in heaven, to behold the Lamb in the midst of the throne as it had been slain. Bless him and those near and dear also. Hear us, help us, bless us, receive us, forgive us. Oh, do grant that help of the Holy Spirit, and may the words of my mouth, meditation of our heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
So we continue by singing hymn 633, 633, tune Rimington 395. The love of Christ is rich and free, fixed on his own eternally. Nor earth nor hell can it remove. Long as he lives, his own he'll love. His loving heart engaged to be, there everlasting surety. 'Twas love that took their course in hand, and love maintains it to the end. 633. Thank you.
in dependence. The Lord's help, I venture to draw your prayerful attention to the epistle to Philemon, verse 9, and the first four words. The epistle to Philemon, verse 9, and the first four words. Yet, for love's sake. Yet, for love's sake. This little epistle has been likened to a diamond. It is small, it is weighty, it is very precious, it is very valuable, and love shines forth from it whichever way you look at it. When we speak of love, this must direct us first to the God of love, who in love gave the Son of his love, his only begotten Son, equal the Father and the Holy Ghost. Given to the Son was all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the dear Redeemer came from glory in such amazing, wondrous love and condescension, stooping so low from the glories of heaven to this sinful earth, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, he that upholds all things by the word of his power, yet he is this little babe laid in a manger, no room for them in the inn. And ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that ye through his riches, through his poverty, might be made rich. Was ever such love as this? But love that, yes, as he took in union to his deity, sinless humanity, to go to display the very flowings of that love, that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Revealed at Calvary, behold, a scene of matchless grace, to Jesus in the sinner's place. And that this love should be in the appointment of heaven, shed abroad in the heart of all who are called by divine grace, loved with that everlasting love, that love of the Holy, shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost that is given to us. And as we think and meditate with increased wonder at God's gifts to unworthy sinners, let us never lose sight also of this, that the dear Redeemer said that the Father giveth us the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you, but he will abide with you forever. Love, love such as this. And from that love, there's no separation. And that love is from everlasting to everlasting, even though we were lost and ruined in the fall, and not any love, I was going to say, speck of love in our heart, Lord Jesus Christ, but he loved us even when ruined. He saw me ruined in the fall and loved me notwithstanding all. Now the effects of this love, as known in sinners' hearts, his dear people I refer to here, this love will be or should be reflected in our lives. The text is taken from an epistle. An epistle is a letter, and we in our life are like an open letter. I won't go into the detail there, but we do read in the Word of God an open letters, and sometimes, of course, it was to do harm and damage, but it was an open letter, was that which anybody could read. And my friend, what does the world read in us? Is there in our life that which speaks of the love of Christ to us, that we may be a witness in our life, that we may show forth the praises of him that hath called us out of darkness into his marvellous light? Therefore, as we read this epistle, and I hope the Lord may help me to speak a little of it this afternoon, we trace out these precious words, yet for love's sake. And let us be quite clear to start with, that love is in line, in harmony with truth and with faith. It is not a love that speaks of anything that is contrary to the Word of God. It's a love that makes us faithful, a love that gives us grace to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. It is a love that together we strive together for the faith of the gospel. Now, just simply, the letter means there's a writer. Now, we know that this is by the Holy Spirit of God, but there's an instrument, and the writer here was none other than the Apostle Paul. And we might ask, where was he when he wrote this letter? He was a prisoner of Jesus Christ in Rome. For the truth's sake, for the love of the gospel, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. The letter itself is written to Philemon, who was, as Paul says, our dearly beloved and fellow labourer, a minister of the gospel, who had, as it is recorded in this letter, a church in his house. The letter is written to this beloved servant of Jesus Christ, and it is evident that Paul himself had been the instrument in the hand of God of his conversion, because he speaks of it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self, beside as the instrument of his conversion by the power of the Holy Ghost, for love's sake. The letter is written, I know there are names in the letter, but mainly concerning Onesimus. We ask, who is Onesimus? He was a servant, or a slave, if you like, of Philemon. Doubtless lovingly cared for, doubtless called to worship in the church in his house, but this Onesimus ran away, would have nothing to do with it, but worse than that, stole from his master. Now, we should come to that as we may be helped in a moment or two, but taking it step by step, that is the brief outline of this epistle. Now, we come first to the greeting, and how casual our greetings are without thought. We say the Lord be with you just by custom, but maybe a true prayer from our heart. Here the apostle says grace to you. What a word that is. Every spiritual and providential blessing bestowed upon poor sinners on this earth from the fullness of his grace, those great, as I've heard it described, great riches at Christ's expense. All spiritual blessings flowing to poor sinners from Calvary. They, he says, grace to you, grace all sufficient, grace in every time of need, grace to bear that thorn in the flesh, the grace of humility, the grace of love, the grace of faith. Oh, what a tremendous word it is. And yet, this is not just a formal desire, it is for love's sake. And the dear apostle, loving this dear minister of the gospel, pleads and prays that grace be with him and peace, that the peace of God that passeth all understanding might fill his heart, that peace through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that peace that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. And he says, I thank God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. For love's sake, if we're honest, and may we ever be honest, but we have to acknowledge, sadly, there are times when we're in trouble and we're filled with self-pity. None are so tried as I am. Paul, facing death, I won't say it was imminent at that time, but not far away, a prisoner. You would think he would have no time to consider any others. For love's sake, takes me to this word, that if you read through the epistles, you marvel at the names recorded of his letters written expressing his prayerful desire and love to those in bonds. May grace be given to us ever to remember those, even though we ourselves are in trial, we should always have cause to think of others also for love's sake. Then the dear apostle acknowledges, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Mark it. That love to Jesus, that love that goes forth to the dear people of God. Oh, friend, faith and love working hand in hand, love and faith that worketh by love, that faith that makes Christ precious to our souls, Christ made precious to our souls because we love him, because he first loved us, and that is toward God, and it is also toward the family of God for love's sake, so much that as we may notice that there will be a willing sacrifice as we think of Christ's sacrifice on the cross as he laid down his life for us poor sinners, that we should lay down our lives for the brethren. That means that we should seek to spend and be spent one for another and show that love. I remember my first two girls in family when they were quite little, and if there was somebody they really loved, they would say, "I love you," and mean it. My friend, there's some artificial love, but there's love that will be revealed for love's sake in going the extra mile in sacrifice, and will speak to us of the love of Jesus Christ. Oh, may brotherly love continue, yet for love's sake. And what do the churches hear about us? You, about me. Oh, I'm not speaking of gossip. May our church be purged of such gossip. Gossip that gets exaggerated. Gossip that gets delighted in if something goes wrong and gets out of almost out of truth sometimes. I mean, when there's that constant prayerful, loving care, watchfulness, one for the other. And by that, I mean this, just as you fathers and mothers watch over your children to see that it is well with them. You don't just take a glance at it, they're constantly on your mind and they're in your heart. Why? For love's sake. Now, if we have those that love the Lord Jesus Christ, then we love one another and we watch prayerfully over one another. As the apostle here says, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. All this flows from the love of Christ in our hearts, flowing to Jesus in love and flowing to one another, and a love that will even help us, and we need much grace to do it, to pray for our enemies and those that despitefully use us. Oh, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And just one more word here. He speaks of that great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Now, in a church, or say in a family first, if brotherly love, sisterly love is there, we refresh one another, we encourage one another, we help one another, we walk together in love and in union, and how much more in the church of God. Seek peace and pursue it. Pray for this love, and pray for grace to love even the crooked stick that may be in the bundle, to seek patience and pray that there may be the Spirit of Christ seen as not a party spirit, but a spirit of love and care and consolation. I know we cannot minister providentially to everybody, but we can pray one for the other. We can display love one to the other. We can seek grace to care one for the other. And yet it is why, for love's sake. You take a church, you take baptized members, we all profess we're loved by Jesus Christ. He loved us, and that we love him. Now, it's a very sad and solemn reflection, and I don't know of anything here or anywhere else. I say it's a very sad and solemn reflection if in a church there's division, if a wrong spirit creeps in. My friend, may grace be given to any breach to be healed, for love's sake. And for love's sake, when those, and we are all prone to speak unadvisedly and speak a word very hastily, then may grace be given for love's sake to say, "Look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me." And love's sake, to forgive. I said it last night. It's to be real forgiveness, not like sometimes when I go in the garden, I see a weed and I just pull it and I think I've got it out and I see, oh, I've only got part of it. And then perhaps, yes, lazy, leave it. What happens? It gets deeper and stronger than ever. Friend, it must be love like the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be helped to pray one for the other for love's sake. Now, what is all this about? What is this letter really about? Paul has something he wants to ask Philemon to do. And he says here, I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being as a prisoner, as one Paul the aged, and now a prisoner of Jesus Christ. In other words, he says, as my authority, I could command you in love, in the Lord, to do what I'm telling you. I'm not exercising that authority. I'm exercising for love's sake. Love, spiritual love in action. My friend, is there anything so powerful that which will can transform lives, that which is the nearest reflection, and that's all I can say, we have of the love of Jesus Christ as revealed at Calvary, for love's sake. Something very wonderful has happened. What is it? You know that Paul, in the beginning of his prisoner, as a prisoner, he dwelt in a hired house, chained, as it is said, to soldiers. But he was permitted to receive any that visited him, to speak to them, to preach to them. We read of Onesiphorus, not to be confused with Onesimus, another man who was not ashamed of the chain of Paul. In other words, though it might have brought on the visitor scorn, reproach, jeering, hated by the Romans, yet they were not ashamed to acknowledge they loved Paul and they wanted to visit him and they wanted to hear him. Now, among those that came was this Onesimus. The Word of God does not give us the details. The distance from Colossae, where Philemon church in the house, to Rome was a great distance, a long, long way. We've read of the father and his two sons, and the younger of them said, Father, give me the portion of goods that belongs to me. I'm running away. And run away he did. Now, you may say, I've not done that. I've always, from a child, come to chapel. I've always listened to the truth. My friend, by nature, we've all gone astray like lost sheep. We may not have run away literally from home. We may not even run away from the house of God. But, oh, beloved friend, just consider your lost and ruined state before Almighty God. Without God, without hope, without Christ, a false religion, a dead profession, resting on a denominational name, and destitute of spiritual life in the soul, far away from God, just as much as those like the prodigal, and this man goes right away to Rome, and doubtless thought that there he would be free. But there it is quite evident he was brought under the ministry of the apostle. And like the prodigal, began doubtless to be in want. Oh, friend, how is it with you? I know there are many here that can truly say, yes, I can remember how I began to be in want, how I began to know that I was a sinner, God was holy, and that I was far off from God. I needed saving. I couldn't save myself. I needed one mighty, a mighty Saviour to save such a one as I. But there I was brought, and I couldn't find, as I thought, the joy in the world and that which would bring me happiness. I found it was I had no real friends, and I was perishing. And I came, and I thought of this dear Father in heaven. I thought of this beloved Son. I thought of that blood of Christ on the cross. I thought, can there be hope for such? Yes, and you never thought you'd say it of yourself. Wretch, filthy wretch, like me, a leper like me. And look, I've gone my way. I've rebelled against God. I have not loved God. I've gone my way. But now, where can I go? To whom can I turn? He could not be satisfied with the husks of the swine to eat. You can't be satisfied with a legal religion. You want real things. You begin to be in want, and you come to yourself. It's a wonderful mercy to come to yourself. I remember being told that the late Mr. Haler had a young man that he felt quite clear was a work of grace, and this young man was taken ill, and I think it affected his mind. And Mr. Haler visited in the hospital, and the sister said, "Oh, Mr. Haler, I'm afraid that poor man's gone out of his mind." And he said to her, "Spiritually, he has come to his right mind." Friend, and that was the leading back on the way to the Father's home. Can there be hope? Can there be mercy? Can there be grace? Can there be a possibility this holy God, against whom we've sinned, can receive such a wretch, such a sinner that wandered so far, far away? Oh, friend, here we see the glorious gospel. Here we see, for love's sake, here we see the Father. Well, as it has been rightly said, we don't read that lad, that son ran. I bet he took some very slow steps, but the Father ran and had compassion, heart, love, for love's sake, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him, and bring forth the best robe, take away those rags, kill the fatted calf, and put shoes on his feet that signify in the family of God. Oh, friend, the running in the ways of the gospel of peace, and much more could be added. This is the path. Now, here was this young man. He was a literal prodigal. He was one that had turned his back on the church in the house. He was one that had robbed. He was one that had wasted his substance on riotous living. He was one that lost. But he hears the gospel. He hears the glorious truth, like Paul would say, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And Paul could say, "Of whom I am chief." And oh, my friend, here the Holy Spirit works. Here's a brand to be plucked from the fire. Here's a lost sheep that's out there, miles away on the mountains, in the dark valleys. And yet the shepherd knows it's there, and he goes after it. And he gathers it up in his arms, lays it on his shoulders, and brings it back. And here, this young man, he is called by divine grace. Here, as the apostle says, "I beseech thee for my son, Onesimus." Why does he call him my son? A son in the faith, a child that God had given him. I'm sure your pastor has got children here. I'm not referring to his personal family. Pray God they're in it too. But what I mean is this, that they can say, "This is one whom I've begotten in my bonds. I preached," and sometimes in bondage, sometimes in under burden, sometimes fearing, "Oh, who has relieved my report?" But here's the one that comes forth. And my friend, if I may be say to the glory of God, I've had an encouragement at home among my own people, and one that I never looked for. Well, I prayed for, oh, did I pray for this young man, that gave me a lot of concern. He left us mainly, and then went to Australia for a year and thought he'd get right away. But God has brought him back. And when he came back, he sat there in my chapel at Tamworth Road, and I'd start to preach, and he sat with his head down like that, although he's not taking a scrap of notice what I'm saying. Because he had not read the Bible, wasn't conversant. Now, if I quoted a scripture, he got a concordance. He was hungry. He started to look up the word. He was studying as I was preaching. Well, I can't go forward, but he's, by the grace of God, been enabled to come and testify of the mighty power of God's grace that has transformed his life from the nightclub, from drunkenness, to be brought under the power of God's grace. I pray, says the apostle, I beseech thee for my son, whom I have begotten in my bonds, and sometimes the ministers of the gospel are in bonds, and yet prove, though bonds have been to the furtherance of the gospel. Sometimes at the darkest times I've had in the pulpit, and when I've been felt in absolutely fettered and in bonds, and I have, and yet out of it has been a blessing. I'll just give one example. It was a Thanksgiving service, and I always feel it should be a Thanksgiving theme in measure. But the Lord gave me one word, groanings, in Romans chapter 8. Now, that may sound, it is a depressing word, but it's a wonderful word if you examine it, because all those to whom there's no condemnation, no separation from the love of Christ, they are those that are no stranger to these groanings, because the work of the Spirit in their heart, that's what it is. But it sounds a very, as I say, a melancholy word. But if ever I struggle through a sermon, I did. The Lord didn't leave me. But, oh, friend, now there was a man. He was in deep depression. He saw him saying to him, I can't go. It won't be anything for me. But he went. And there it was. I say that it wasn't me. It wouldn't be any good if it was. It was God. Begotten in my bonds. Brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. Now he said, but in time past was to the unprofitable. He wasn't a good servant. He didn't love you. He came perhaps unwillingly to the church in your house. And now look, he's robbed you. He's run away. Unprofitable. And so we are in this sense, spiritually, without divine grace, unprofitable. But he says, but now. Oh, what a wonderful word this is. Now, look what grace has done. Profitable to thee and to me. It reminds me, indeed, when I baptized this young man that I've told you, I spoke from the two words in Ephesians chapter 2, the first verse and the first two words, and you. And verse 4, but God. You, dead in trespasses and sin. You, children of wrath. You in the world that love the world. But God, rich in mercy, by grace you are saved through faith. And that not by yourself, not by any works of yours, but by grace you are saved. Oh, friend, I say, these things are real. This is the work of grace in the heart. Now, I know with this young man, it's got to be proved. It's got to be proved. And all religion's got to be proved. How are you standing up? Are you standing up to the test? Sometimes you may be tried. Good thing to be tried. Exercise. Watchful. Pray to be delivered from doubts and unbelief, but pray for clear evidence and the seal of the Holy Spirit's work in your heart, that you can say, ah, there I was, wandering far, but now called by divine grace. And here my life is now transformed, but now profitable to thee and to me. Now, what is all the concern about? We take another step. Something's got to be put right. I hardly like to mention this, but I don't mind mentioning this first bit, that I'm an old man. I must acknowledge that. And there are old men and women here. Perhaps they are with me. I think it can't be all that time before my end comes. Now, I want things straight. I want things straight. I don't want any thorn in my pillow. There were many misunderstandings. As far as I can be and be used of God to live in peace with all, and where I have gone wrong, that's my concern, not somebody else. We love to find fault with somebody else. Away with it. I know we've got to be, what should I say, watch for care over one another, but I say not to find fault just to and think we're so good. Friend, may grace be given to us to say, Lord, is it I have named, and it wouldn't be a secret on committee, the gospel standard years ago, the late Mr. Broom, there was some difficult matter, I can't remember what it was, and he said, Mr. Chairman, he said, I think what we should do first of all is to say, where have we gone wrong? I don't know whether they had, that doesn't matter, but the point is, I've never forgotten it. Start there. Put things right between you and somebody else before you worry about them putting it right to you. Seek grace. My friend, I've no idea of preaching like this. I don't know why. I don't want you to think your pastor been talking to me. I haven't, not a word. In fact, if you had, I shouldn't have spoken it. But I'm only a believer the Lord has given it to me. A wonderful mercy to come. Like dear Joseph. I know I'm rambling off a bit now, but you know, right at the end, it was not you that sent me, it was God. And you meant it to evil, but God meant it to go. And when he would die, he'd forgiven his brethren all over again. There was no thorn in his pillow. Oh, may grace be given to us. Now, he's going to send him back to Philemon. What is Philemon going to do? This is the point. Whom, he says, Paul says, I would have kept him with me. He could have ministered to me. He could have lovingly cared for me because he's now profitable to me. And you can imagine a man in bonds to have a young son in the faith. What joy it would bring to him. But he says, no, Philemon, he's got to come back to you. Doubtless to confess his fault, but you are to receive him. You are to forgive him. Think of it. He said, without thy mind would I do nothing. And do and I see for love's sake in this. Husbands and wives, a practical point. Brethren, brothers and sisters in families. The church of God, deacons working together, pastor. Without thy mind would I do nothing. Now I know there are times when you've got to make a decision alone. That would be by prayer. But where possible, work together. Without thy mind, would I do nothing. Don't go away in a selfish way and make the plan, but try and all pull together. Like the horses in Pharaoh's chariot. I have likened thee, my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. They were horses selected and trained to bring glory to the king and pull what? Do you think one would go that way and one would go that way? It'd be disaster. They pulled together for the glory of the king. That's what we need. Without thy mind would I do nothing. Praying for divine guidance, the unity of the spirit, the oneness in all things. Perhaps he departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now, as a servant, but a brother beloved. Oh, friend, for love's sake. I'm sure we're not told, of course, what came out of this, but I'm sure that Philemon would have received him, forgiven him, welcomed him back. And this may be in our close this afternoon. I suppose practically all our churches have got young people and older ones. I know some may have gone to other places to worship. We have to leave it. We're sad. But I'm speaking particularly, or if they've gone to places that rank error, that would include what I'm thinking of, or those that have gone right into the world. If you've given up, shut the door. No. If for love's sake, friend, you'll know what it is to travel. Now, I know we can't get that travel, But if God lays somebody in your heart and gives you travail, you keep at it, pray on. You may not even live to see the answer to your prayers. God moves in wonderful ways. He does. And even as I think of one dear to me that was, in fact, my sister, baptized just before I was, and yet she strayed away, was separated from, withdrawn from. But she'd been brought back, and prodigal, yes, even though a member of the church, became a prodigal. But she brought back, she suffered for it. But it's well with her now, brought back into church membership. Oh, my friend, we're ready to shut the door. May we be ready to open our mouth in prayer and plead with the Lord to have mercy and save that lost one and that perishing one. And God moves in wonderful ways. My pastor named to us a case of a young man who got right away into wrong company and wouldn't go to chapel. And one Sunday night he was out with his so-called friends and they just casually said, "Where are we going?" Arrow from heaven. Hell. God. Power. Grace. Back at chapel. Now, for love's sake, I must leave it there. Oh, if I've said and I'm conscious of weakness, anything wrong, may God forgive it. But may we, our lives, come under the sacred influence of the love of Christ. Oh, may it be so. Oh, put thy gracious hands on me and make me all I ought to be.
Shall we conclude this service by singing hymn 258, the tune Zundel 664. Jesus, source of our salvation, may we now thy nature know. Then more bowels of compassion we to thy dear saints shall show. May the grace thou hast imparted in relieving our complaints make us kind and tender-hearted to the feeblest of thy saints. 258.
of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, be with you all. Amen.